Hebrews chapter number 4, and I want to preach on this subject this morning, rest for a restless world, rest for restless days. And as we mentioned earlier, we're living in a day and an hour, seemingly it's amplified. It's before any of this virus and all this stuff started, we were already living in restless days. People just having a hard time finding rest. And but this has seemingly amplified it. Everywhere you look, people are panicked and restless. And God, thank the Lord, God has something to say. God has an answer for all of life's problems. God has an anecdote to everything that we will face in life. And I want to look at God's Word this morning and preach on the subject, rest for restless days. Hebrews chapter number 4, we'll actually go back to chapter 3 and pick up reading because it ties right in dealing with the same subject. So go back a page, Hebrews chapter 3, and look at verse number 7. And we'll pick up our reading there. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known me, my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." And let me just pause there and say, God said, take heed in verse 12. Take heed, brethren. It's not talking to lost people. It's talking to saved people. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. If there's ever been a time that you need to be, and that I need to be, that we need to be very cautious and very careful that we do not depart from the things of God and let slack get in between our relationship with God and depart and let distance get in between us and God. It's in these days we're living. In a restless day and in a restless hour and a restless world, the last thing that we can afford is to have distance in between us and God. If there's ever been a time, we should be plowing forward and driving forward and drawing closer to God. It's in these days. But here we see that they were departing from the living God. And that, and I'll speak more about this in just a moment, but that departing and division and distance between them and God was directly linked to that word unbelief. And you'll see that as we go on through the text, but unbelief leads to a disconnect from God. And when we are distanced from God, it's an automatic. You can bank on it. You can count on it. When we, the further we get from God, the more distance between me and my Savior, the more restless I'm going to become. The more distance in between me and my spouse, when things come up and I have a problem with her or she has a problem with me and our communication is altered and even comes to a halt and we quit talking one to another and distance begins to set in. It's not long to where there's no rest in our home. And the same is true with our relationship with God. He said here was directly related to and linked to an evil heart of unbelief. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Say, oh, I don't need this preaching this morning. I don't need this message this morning. I'm not restless. I got this under control. This coronavirus, it don't bother me none. I'm not the least bit concerned. Maybe not. But you're still living in a world. And even in your life, in your world, not this big world called planet Earth, but in your little world and in my little world, we are facing things that we need to understand. Sin is deceitful. And none of us are above sin weaving and wiggling its way into our life and stealing the joy out of our life. And as we know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if there's ever been a time that we need to be strong in the Lord and strong in the power of His might, it's in these days we're living. We can't afford to be weak. Amen. And the Bible says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? See, there it is again. You see that connection? Unbelief connected with a loss of rest. There is no rest where we allow unbelief to come in. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest and of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day, and we're going to deal with that. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in the place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and that to whom it was first preached entered not in. Why? Because of what? Unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, in David today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. The Lord showed me some things about this rest and about how even God rested after he worked 6 days and created everything that was created. And then God rested. And I'll say more about that in just a moment. The Bible says in verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You see, there it is again. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now that's part of chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews. That is way more truth than we could ever get to this morning. But I felt it necessary to read the truth. The Bible says, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. I was talking with J.D. yesterday. He said, preacher, he was asking me about how to set up a sermon and how to put a sermon together. And I was telling him some different things. And I told him, just simply put, there's nothing that you could put in an outline that is greater than what God has said. And if you don't glean or gain anything that I say or add to the message this morning, get what God said. God said what He meant, and He meant what He said. God didn't waste words. God wasn't redundant and repetitive. He put over and over and over in this text that we just read that there is a rest for those who want it. That there is a rest that we as the children of God this morning have access to that the world knows not of, that the world cannot go and draw from, that the world cannot obtain. There is a rest to the child of God. Ain't you glad this morning? In a restless society, in restless days, in restless hours, we can go to the source where we can withdraw the rest that we need. Amen. However, God multiple times drew that similarity and connected those two words of rest and unbelief. Do you know this morning you can want rest so bad? And you can work your fingers to the bones trying to get rest, and you'll never get the job done. You'll never get the work done in order to get that rest unless you do it the way God said to do it. Amen. There is a way. God didn't create rest. God didn't make rest for it to sit on a shelf and to be unattainable. No, God who created all things. In John 14, the Bible says, Jesus, all things that were created by Him. And that includes rest. God created rest, and He didn't, Brother Bobby, He didn't create rest to put it on a shelf for us to look at and gaze at and desire and lust to have it. No, He created rest so that He could give it to His children. Amen. So that He could give it to a lost man who is weary and worn and weak and has been worn out by sin and a life of sin. Have you ever seen? I was having a conversation with somebody last night, and I made this statement and was talking about somebody that I had seen. And matter of fact, he's one of my family members. And when I saw him, I had to take a double take. What sin had done to him. I mean, his whole body, his whole countenance, he looked like he'd aged 20 or 30 years, and the drugs and the lifestyle that he was living, it was very evident on his face and in his body and on his countenance. Sin will wear you out. And I want to say, praise God this morning, this is not just for the saved. There is a rest. Matter of fact, the only rest that a lost man can find is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that a lost man can get this rest, Brother Jackie, is when he cashes in his unbelief and by faith places his trust and confidence and full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it does not change. Just like it takes belief, unbelief cannot be part of the equation when a lost man comes to get saved. The same is true when a saved man, when we, the children of God, need and want to get rest, it can't be mingled with unbelief. God said it over and over and over again. So, Brother J.D., you listen. What I was teaching you at the house yesterday, I'm going to try to put in practice, get it this morning. Proposition, transitional statement, all right? Every Christian can obtain rest. Every Christian, let me back up. Every person, because it's not just to the Christian. As I just said, lost people can obtain this rest. So if we was to say every Christian, that would eliminate all the lost people. No, this rest that God has is not just to one group of people. No, it's worldwide. I mean, red, yellow, black, or white, rich, poor, it does not matter. God has rest for any and every person who will come and believe and come to Christ. So every person can receive rest. Amen? And I want to look at this morning a few truths concerning this rest. And I hope we can leave this morning. If you come in tired and weary and wore out, I hope God will charge you up and give you rest. Speak peace to your soul. Listen, these doctors and these world-renowned scientists that get up and say, we're getting a handle on this and got some vaccines in the works and we got some other medicines that look promising. And boy, that may bring some solace and solidarity and may bring some thread of hope that, the end of this thing could be in sight. But listen, if they saw, we'll still be in a restless world. If all this goes by the wayside by Friday of this week, and even all the economic problems, all the money's put back in your 401k, and all that have lost jobs go back to work and start getting a paycheck again, and America begins thriving again, and the world gets on its feet and begins marching forward, we're still living in a world that without Christ and without the God of heaven, there is no rest for the weary soul. I mean, what a bottle cannot fill that empty hole in your soul. The rest that God can offer will sustain. What a vial full of a needle of dope that's been injected into some young teenage boy's arm or some young teenage girl's arm, and what somebody may snort or what somebody may pop or whatever. Listen, they're looking for rest. They're looking for something to bring rest to them. Their minds wore out. Their life is in a mess, and they're just looking for a little bit of peace and a little bit of rest. But it don't last. And listen, I just spoke about alcohol and drugs, but I'm going to tell you, an illicit relationship, that ain't going to bring rest. It may feel good for a moment. There's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. That newness will wear off, and then you'll be right back as restless, if not worse than you was when you started. Listen to me. Are you listening to me? Hey, listen, that has any lasting power apart from that God and God alone can give you. Amen. And so if we have identified, and I believe we have, where rest comes from. Listen, I'm not talking about this morning some fabricated rest. I'm not talking about what a doctor can prescribe. I'm not talking about what a dealer can give you. I'm not talking about what the liquor store can sell you. I'm not talking about what some psychologist can put into your mind. I'm telling you, I believe we have identified. I believe you that are saved, you know deep down in your soul that the very first time you ever experienced real lasting rest was when you met a man named Jesus.
Amen.
Remember that?
Yes, sir.
How about you walk back down memory lane just for a moment with me to the very moment. I mean, you go back to that place, Brother Ned. Brother Warzer, you go back to that place when for the first time your soul, your life had been searching, your mind had been turning, and you had been looking, I mean, just panting and looking day in and day out, looking for rest, only to be disappointed, only to think, get a new trinket or a new toy, make more money and think, boy, if I can be successful, that'll bring rest. If I can buy enough things, that'll bring rest. If I can get my own business, if I can become successful, sure, that'll bring rest. Only to find out new things get old, and them new toys will end up sitting in your yard, rusting away, and they lose their sparkle. Hey, listen, new habits, new hobbies, they may be enjoyable, nothing wrong with them. But you know what? They won't bring rest that'll last.
Amen.
There's only one. I've identified it through God's Word. He identified it. There's one place, one person that you can get rest from. Real rest. And if that's the case this morning, I believe it would behoove us to want to know everything we can about how to get it. Because I don't care. Listen, you could be stone cold faced at me this morning. You could act like you don't care. I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're a youngin'. I don't care if you're in your 70s or 80s or 30s or 40s. It don't matter. Listen, it does not matter. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us, deep down in our soul, desires to have rest that comes from only God. And you may not have figured it out yet, but I promise you, that void that's in you, that missing element, that thing you can't put your finger on, but you just know something ain't right, something just don't add up, life is just not bringing satisfaction the way you thought it would. I mean, yeah, that relationship is just, you thought it'd bring satisfaction and lasting joy, but everything you get and everything you work for and everything you finally gain, you find out that it's not all it was cracked up to be.
Amen.
You know why? Because God created us in a way that there is only one thing that will bring rest, real rest. And you can change the situation. You can change the circumstances. This one may be up, making millions of dollars, living in a multi-million dollar home, driving extravagant cars and having everything that money can buy. And you stack him up beside somebody who's poor and somebody who ain't got a house to live in. They live over in Podunk and they ain't got, they wearing the same clothes they had on 5 years ago. Are you listening to me? And one can be as miserable and empty and void while who has it all, while the other, seemingly to the naked eye, has nothing and would look like has no reason to have real rest. What is that? That's Him. And that's to every person ever been born of woman. God made us that way. Amen. And so, listen. You could spend all day or till next month trying to talk me out of this or change my mind, but you can't argue with the truth. He says, this don't apply to me. This is boring. There'll come a day it won't be boring. There'll come a day when you'll wish to God, you'll beg and pray that you had this rest. You know why? Because I know what I know. I've lived, Brother Stephen, long enough to know. I've tried everything the world has, and nothing can bring rest. Nothing can bring rest that lasts like Jesus. Nothing. Nothing. And if that's the case, and it is the case, then we need to know as much as we can know about this rest. Don't you want it? Don't you want others to see you at rest and having the peace of God and not being restless like the rest of the world, but being able to walk with the peace of God and the joy of God in your heart? Don't you want your family to be able to look at you and say, how in the world, why in the world do they look like they got it all together and they're not bothered and they don't think the world's coming to an end, even if everybody's saying it is? Why ain't they so concerned and consumed? Because realness, real rest, is very revealing. You don't have to pump it up, prime it up. You don't have to paint it. No, my friend. It's real. And it's relevant to me and you today. Well, when we as believers die in the Lord, we enter into rest. Now, somebody say amen right there. There's two kinds of rest that the Bible talks about right here. One, and thank God this world is not my home. Amen. Amen. If you're saved, we are headed, hallelujah, to a land that's fairer than day. We're headed to a place where there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrows, Brother Ned. There'll be no more knee replacements. There'll be no need of wheelchairs and walkers and eyeglasses. Listen, we're headed for a land where we will rest while the ages roll on, and we'll enter into eternal rest. That's a reality. Amen. If you saved, that is your future. And heaven will fix it all. Praise God. But hey, listen. But that is not the rest we are talking about or God's speaking about right here in this text. Do you know you don't have to wait to get to heaven to enter into rest? Do you know you can walk through this world with rest? Do you know there's a whole lot of people sitting on Baptist churches? I mean, in good churches. In churches just like them. I might as well quit preaching about them and to us. These people sitting right here on these pews this morning in this small crowd who hadn't come to the full understanding that you don't have to wait to get to heaven to have heaven on the way. You don't have to wait to heaven to enter into rest. God has given us rest for the journey. Yes. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, he said, "There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God." There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. Over in the book of Revelation, John talks about that same rest. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." There is a rest that remaineth. There is a rest to those that die in the Lord. Absolutely. But this other rest, that all the Scripture in Hebrews 3 and 4, it ain't talking about that rest over yonder. It's talking about that rest right here. It ain't talking about that rest in the sweet by and by. It's talking about that rest in the sweet now and now. Yes. I got about 12 pages full of notes. Well, I've got through three lines. Anybody going to complain about not having church? No, I'm just kidding. It means sorrow is over. Talking about that rest over yonder. Sorrow is over. Suffering's over. Sadness is over. There remains a rest. Boy, ain't you glad this world ain't all we got? Ain't you glad if Mama was here, but to the rest of the family, Brother Jackie and Brother Tony, hey, listen, ain't you glad you're going to see your daddy again? Ain't you glad, Brother Jackie, you're going to see him again? And all those loved ones that's gone on. Ain't you glad? Hey, all of you got family and friends that are already over there. Ain't you glad there's coming a day that you will, and I will be reunited with our loved ones? Ain't you glad this world ain't it? Oh my, what a promise. What a joy. What a blessed hope to know. That this is not all. There remains a rest. It's our hope that the best is yet to come. And it is. Hebrews 4 talks about a different rest. Not one we have to wait to die to receive, but a rest we can receive right now. In these chapters, we are reminded that God rested. No, I'm not going to finish this morning. Or this afternoon, or this evening. But if I don't get no further than this, I want to get this that God showed me, and it blessed me. He speaks right here in the text in Hebrews chapter 4 about how God, when He created the worlds and the universes and the galaxies and everything that was created in 6 days. And He handmade man out of the dust of the ground. On the seventh day, the Bible said He rested. God rested. Now that's interesting. You say, oh, I know that. My goodness, that we learned that in Sunday school when I was in primary class. Okay, I did too. However, it can get a whole lot deeper than primary class. If you get to looking, now I mean that was over in the book of Genesis, right there in the very first book of your Bible, where we learned that first account. But here it is popping back up over in the book of Hebrews. And it's tied to rest. And I believe the Apostle Paul wrote this book of Hebrews. And why is it that the Holy Ghost inspired and moved Paul's pen to put down and pin down and go all the way back to the book of Genesis and deal with God resting when He's dealing with how and we can get rest? There's a correlation there that I've never seen. There's something we can all learn from God resting. He created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Everybody agree with that, don't you? Now, why did God... Here we go. Let's have a quiz this morning. Some of you looking a little sleepy. My intention was not to come in here and bore you this morning. So answer me this. Riddle me this. Why did God rest? Why did God rest? Think He had to? I mean, do you think He was sweaty and weary and tired, give out, run down? I mean, 6 days, look at all. And He did create, and He did do great and mighty work. I mean, you talking about work, look at all He done. But I want to tell you something. He was not one bit more tired at the end of the 6 day than He was before He ever started. So He didn't rest because He was tired. He didn't rest because He wore down. Which says something to us, just by the way. You don't have to get tired in order to need to rest. Say, well, I don't need to rest. I ain't tired. God didn't need to rest either. God wasn't tired, but He rested. Look at this just for a moment. We are reminded that there is a rest that we have to look forward to. No more sorrows, no more. Listen. Thank God for the rest that awaits us, but in these verses we are told about a rest that we don't have to wait for or wait on, but a rest that we can enter into now. And we can experience the same rest God experienced on that seventh day. Hear me. Why did God rest? The God of eternity past, the Ancient of Days, the sovereign God of the universe, the omnipotent, the all-powerful God. Why did God rest? Why? I'll tell you why. Never saw this before. I've heard this, and maybe some of you would have answered this. Well, He rested to give us a pattern for how we should do, that we should rest on the seventh day. That's why the Sunday is known as the day of rest. That's why y'all not about cutting your grass today. Oh, me. Say amen. It is. That's right. That was unheard of when I was growing up. If you was right down the road and see somebody cutting grass, well, you'd say, that's a heathen. I'm sincere. I'm sincere. Y'all boys too young to know. I'm telling you, that's the truth. Amen. Some of you older ones, do you ever see people cutting grass unless you just thought, that bunch of heathen out cutting grass on Sunday? You didn't do nothing on Sunday but rest, eat, go to church. Amen. Yeah, that's right. So it was a good pattern for God to give us. But that ain't why. I believe that might be part of it, but that ain't why. That ain't why God rested. Does anybody know why? Oh, if you don't, it'll be worth your trip to church this morning. Amen. If you ain't never heard, if God ain't never turned the light on and showed you why God rested on the seventh day, other than as a pattern for us, this is good. Amen. This is wonderful. Why did God rest? Well, the reason God rested was because the work was finished. Hold on. Don't run ahead of me. He finished. The reason God rested because the finished work. Are you starting to put two and two together? You know why I can rest? Because of the finished work. And I ain't talking about work that I did. I'm talking about the finished work of the cross of Calvary. You don't know how you can get rest and why we have access to rest and how we can get rest. It's the same reason God rested, because the work was finished. We too can rest because of the finished work. Jesus there on the cross cried, "Tetelestai, Tetelestai, it is finished." The work was complete. And because He finished the work, we can rest. And we can have access to rest. Amen? He had completed the work. So on the seventh day He rested, because God rested based on the finished work. I'm not talking about the sweet by and by. I'm talking about, listen, the sweet now and now. This is, we can get rest because of the finished work that happened 2,000 plus years ago. The work was finished, and we're still able and have access to rest today because of the work that was finished way back then. You say, but surely more work needs to be done. I mean, that's outdated. That's old. I mean, surely that finished work, surely more has to be done. That's way too old. More has to be done. No, it was done so good. It was done so complete that nothing could be added to it. Nothing could be taken away from it. I mean, He finished the work. And when God created the heavens and the earth and all that's within it and all of its glory, when it was finished, it was finished. And when it was finished, He rested. And on Calvary's cross, He done everything God the Father sent Him to do. And when it was finished, it brought forth a rest that God Himself sat down and enjoyed on the seventh day, because the work was complete. Amen. Well, that may not excite you as much as it did me, but it helped me. I thought that was wonderful. Just as God rested based on the finished work, we too can rest based on the finished work. A work that was finished before the foundation of the world. You say, but I thought you said 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, He hung on the cross, but the Bible says He was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, before creation, before God the Father, before God who created in those 6 days and worked those 6 days and created everything that was created and then rested on the seventh day. Before the foundation of the world, God rested because of the finished work, because of that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. He knew the end from the beginning. Revelation 13:8. Let me read this verse. Revelation 13:8 says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." God knew the end from the beginning. Before there was a sin problem, God had the finished work of redemption. I mean, before, hey, it did not take God by surprise when Adam partook of that fruit of the tree of good and evil. Listen, that didn't jar God. That didn't grab God by surprise. No, but because way before Adam ever sinned, God already had a redemption plan set in place, and that was settled and finished. Yes, and your sin and mine, there's a remedy. There's restoration because of that finished work. There's rest. No matter what you do or what I do, if we go to God and believe by faith, which is the absolute critical ingredient, if you want rest, is to believe of what happened on that finished work at Calvary. There's rest. There's rest for your sinful soul. There's rest for whatever problem you're facing, because Calvary covered it all. Amen? Before there was ever a sin problem, God had a solution. Do you think Adam called God by surprise? No. The Bible says, as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4, just as God rested on that finished work, you and I enter into rest based upon the finished work. What work was that? It was the finished work of the cross. Victory is not based on performance. Salvation is not based on performance. Salvation is based on the finished work of the cross. In other words, you cannot be good enough. You cannot work good enough. You cannot pray enough. You cannot give enough. No, my friend, the only way you'll ever get rest is when you believe in the finished work of the cross. Amen. It's not a performance. You're not going to get a performance sheet and God check off here and check off there and say, well, you did this good and that good. Well, we'll see if I can give you rest. No, you can get rest if you'll just simply believe there's rest. It ain't up to how good you are, how good I am. Victory is not based on performance. Salvation ain't based on performance. We think about drawing closer to God. Even as Christians, we think, well, I need to pray more. Listen. Now, how many of us, this may sound foreign, like another language. I know the Bible, and I'm not belittling prayer. Thank y'all, men, for praying. I mean that. Brother Ned, thank y'all, all of you that have been meeting here. I missed last night myself. And I'm not belittling prayer, but I'm going to tell you something. Praying does not bring you rest. You say, but I thought I was supposed to pray more. You are. But that has nothing to do with you getting rest. Because if prayer up the scale to us receiving rest, then it would be performance. It would be us doing something to get something. And that has nothing to do with it. Just like in salvation, it's not works-based, it's not merit-based, it is absolutely believing. And if we want to draw nigh to God, believe God. Believe Him. I mean, believe Him. Don't doubt Him. Draw nigh to Him. But it ain't got nothing to do with how much you pray or how much you give or how faithful you are to church or fill in the blank. You say, I need to do more. I need to give out more tracts. I need to draw close to God. So I need to be a better witness. All those things are good, but none of them have anything to do with rest. Because the rest that we can get and we can receive is not based on what you can do. It's based on what He has done.
Amen.
Yes. You'll work yourself, we will work ourselves to death trying to get rest and beat ourselves up, and the old accuser of the brethren will say, see there, you ain't done enough praying. See there, you failed God again. See there. And so you'll say, well, I got to try harder. I got to get more faithful. I got to read my Bible more. I got to do. And you working yourself, and we will work ourselves and wire ourselves out when it's so simple. We're tripping over the very easy rest that God has provided for us. All we have to do is believe that He did everything He said He did, and it is free to you. And you can rest in His rest without working for it. You don't have to pay for it. It's been paid for. Hallelujah. Well, maybe if I do enough, I can enter into God's rest and have victory. We have been trained to believe. Our performance dictates whether or not we can have victory or enter into God's rest. To get saved, we must do, do, do. To get victory, we must do, do, do. But God is saying very clearly to the lost, you can't do enough to get saved. And if that were so, heaven would only be populated by one. His name's Jesus. And to the saved, you can't do enough to gain victory and find rest. It's not about our performance. God is saying, rest, rest, rest. Not do, do, do. He's just saying, rest. Believe in me and rest. Hebrews chapter 3 speaks of that. The reason the children of Israel didn't enter into rest. Why? Because they didn't witness enough? No. Why did the children of Israel wander in the wilderness for 40 years? Because they were wicked and they sinned and they failed against God and they didn't pray enough? No. You won't find that in your Bible. You know, what's the one reason? One reason why Moses and the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, wasted their time, and spent 40 years of their life walking in circles and ended up in the same very place they started. And their carcasses died in the wilderness right where they started, never accomplishing nothing. Why? They didn't give enough? They didn't tithe enough? No. Unbelief. Unbelief. That's it. That is it. It's not. We got to reprogram our stinking thinking. I've been taught wrong. I've allowed myself to be trained wrong. That I've got to do and do and do. And listen, that's getting the cart before the horse. Because if we simply believe and have full faith and confidence in God, He will put the do in us. You will pray. You will read your Bible. You will witness. You will be a light. But you'll do it in rest, not in labor.
Amen.
And all the difference. It makes all the difference.
Yeah.
When God gives you rest,
amen,
you'll work till Jesus comes.
Amen.
And won't tire in doing so. But when you are working in the flesh, I'm done. I know this has been long, but let me give you one last example. It's exactly what I'm talking about. But you remember Abraham and Sarah? Say, what's that got to do with rest? Abraham was promised a child. Sarah was promised a child. Wasn't it? Well, day went by, 2 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 year, 10, a decade. And then they were 100 years old. They said, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. Them people out there in the graveyards got a better chance of having a baby than we do. And Sarah, here it is, said, I can't rest in this no more. I can't find no rest. God promised. And you know what she did? What most of us do when God ain't moved and worked as fast as we wanted Him to. We jump in and help Him out.
Yep. That's right.
Because you know He is a weak, feeble God that needs all of our big, massive strength to help Him out. And He is a feeble-minded God, so He needs our ingenuity and our smarts to help Him figure out a plan since His failed. No, His promise was sure and was going to be right on time. But Sarah said, Abraham, why, I believe God's promise, but look, there's Hagar. Look at that long, flowing, dark hair. Look at that young, beautiful damsel. I bet that's how God wanted us to have that baby. Well, you take her in there. You got my blessing. Take her in there because we're just fulfilling the promise of God. You know what she was doing? You know what Abraham gave in to by accepting and going along? They were absolutely and 100% unbelief. They quit believing the promise. I'm done. Just say this. It's been thousands and thousands of years since that happened. Wake up long enough to hear this statement. Have you ever heard the Jews and the Arabs fighting and been fighting for thousands of years? You know why? You know why they ain't had rest in thousands of years? Because one man and one woman thought they could help God out, and because of their unbelief, look at the unrest. Isaac was that promise. And I'll just say this, and I promise I'm done. But Isaac, that promise, that one who later on in God's mercy, God delivered on that promise, as He always does. Isaac is where that nation of Israel come from his loin. And I promise you, listen, when this world's on fire, there'll still be a nation, the apple of God's eye. And listen, while the worlds are rallying up, and this is happening. You talking about the coronavirus and these pestilence and famines and earthquakes. Have y'all noticed how many earthquakes is happening on top of all this? The armies of the world are gathering around that little nation called Israel. You talking about unrest? But I promise you this, friend, that promise that God gives, there ain't enough armies in the world to defy that promise. Yes. They will have rest. They will have protection. They will stand when the world's on fire. When America, mighty, mighty American armed forces, and I thank God for them. I thank God for our military. But when our military is dead and gone and buried in the ground, that Israel soldier, that Israel country, that Israel nation, the apple of God's eye, because it was promised, will still be resting in the arms of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So if you want rest in a restless world, quit trying to do everything to get it and just simply get back to the basics and believe God. He's got it under control. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen.
storm passes by. Always near, He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. So I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry and why should I fear when this very same Jesus is always so near? The storm passes by.